Welcome to the Business Shop Podcast, where our guests speak on meeting the challenges of entrepreneurship, as well as offer tips and advice on business, marketing, technology, and more. Whether you are a newbie or a seasoned professional, this episode is for you. I am your host, Audrey Wiggins. Let's chop it up. Hello, Chop Squad. Welcome to another episode of The Business Chop. Our guest today is Greg DeVord, and he is the co-founder and CEO of ScreenSteps. It's a company dedicated to helping organizations transfer knowledge to their employees more efficiently. His career and training began 20 years ago in the film industry, in the film scoring industry to be exact, where he taught composers to utilize Apple's Logic platform. This experience paved the way for opportunities to design e-learning solutions for medical devices for prominent companies such as GE, Siemens, and Philips. As the CEO of ScreenSteps, Greg collaborates with organizations of various sizes to replace ineffective training programs with efficient knowledge transfer strategies, enabling them to onboard employees at least 50% faster. Greg holds a degree in composition and film scoring from the Berklee College of Music. He resides in McLean, Virginia, with his wife and four boys, which explains the abundance of broken items in their home. I guess they're playing sports with everything that's movable in their home.
We have some wrestlers, some football players, some basketball. So yeah, lots of broken things.
Oh my gosh, that's crazy. We're going to hear more from Greg on the other side of this message.
Knock out your competition with Altogether Marketing. We elevate your brand. Take a stance with your business name, logo, the tagline, your colors, even the fonts for your business. And then jab left with your website. Jab right with core values. Back up with product experience and bring it on with you. Visit altogether.biz and let us help you create a knockout brand.
Welcome, Greg, to the Business Chop. How's it going today?
I'm doing well. It's a beautiful morning here.
Awesome. That's great. Same here in Cleveland, if I can say that, with a beautiful white stuff out there.
Yep.
Oh, my God. So let's just get right into it. And you talk about training. Is there anything else you want to add to, you know, I read your bio, but any other background you want to give before we just start asking questions right off the bat here?
I would just say that, you know, our main insight in training over the years, so 20 years of doing this, is that we do too much of it. Mm. We rely too much on training, which seems strange from someone who...
Yeah, unpack that.
And the reason is we go to training as a solution to all the problems. When an employee doesn't know how to do something, they're like, well, they need more training. Instead of redesigning the way they work so that they can succeed with less training. And that's kind of the key insight that we have is let's change training. The only way to make training simpler is to make knowledge transfer more efficient. Okay. We can do that by changing the way that people work.
Okay. Now, how do we do that?
Well, let's take an example of someone working any type of office, right?
Mm-hmm.
Seems so simple. You're just going to take care of the standard things that come in. Let's say we're working in a credit union. For example, okay, I'm working in member services, a member comes in and I need to answer their questions. I need to do the things they ask me to do. Well, when you really analyze what somebody needs to do in a role like that, there's over 400 different tasks that they need to perform that have to follow procedure. It's mind blowing, right?
Yeah.
And that's not uncommon. You can go into a medical office, you can go into a school, any of these things. There's all these little tasks that we just keep in our heads. And the only way we learn them is through what we call tribal knowledge. I go in there, I watch somebody else who knows what they're doing, and I try to absorb that, right? Over time, I watch and I learn through experience.
Mm-hmm.
That's a recipe for disaster. It's very stressful. It's really hard to be consistent. It's hard to get everybody else to change, you know, if you have to change procedures. And so we keep going back, well, people need more training. People need more training when they make mistakes. What if we just changed it so that they, when they have to handle those 400, 500 tasks, they have a digital guide that's going to give them clarity and ease of use so they know exactly what to do without having to keep it all in their brain?
Wow. So when you say a digital guide, is that a like the old fashioned manuals that some companies used to have? They were 3 inches thick, except now it's digitized, or is it something different?
It's something different. So think of it akin, I used to live in Boston, right? Mm-hmm. And when I lived in Boston, it was before GPS. And so everybody in Boston had this big map book, and you'd have the map, and it had grids on it, and you'd find your grid, and it would tell you what page to go to get the detailed map of that. And you couldn't navigate Boston without this book. Everybody had one. And then we got GPS, right? And GPS is just going to show us where to go. Businesses are still operating with that giant map book. So you'll go to somebody's desk, and sometimes they'll have a big paper binder.
Yes.
They've got their own personal notes. They've got stickies all over their computer that is up there. And the challenge with that, how are you going to get any consistency when everybody has their own stickies and their own manual and all that sort of stuff? So something changes. How do you do it? So we want to get out of the method of using that giant map book and focus more on using a GPS. So when we go to a digital guide, we're not just transferring. Imagine if Google Maps was just the same as that Boston map book, but on the computer.
Yeah.
It would be better, but it wouldn't be what we have today, where I'm having to look up everything. So what we do when we talk to people is, if you're going to make a digital guide, it has to be findable, followable, scannable. Meaning, I have to be able to find it in 5 seconds. I have to be able to follow it without asking a supervisor or a coworker for help. Mm-hmm. And I have to be able to scan it, because I may be talking to a customer while I have to do this. I can't say, wait a second while I read these 10 pages.
That's true.
Figure out how to help you. So it's got to be displayed in a way that I'm getting just the amount of information I need in that moment, so I can keep talking to you while still navigating this procedure.
Wow. Yeah, that's important right there, because you're right. Time is of the essence, and we don't have time to flip through stuff. And yeah.
Well, we have this thing, we call it the knowledge ops maturity model, and it measures how efficiently somebody transfers knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
And at the lowest level is tribal knowledge. That's where we're just asking our neighbor, we're just watching other people. But the next level up is what we call document. And businesses often feel pretty good about themselves because they've got documentation. But because it's not findable, followable, or scannable, people behave the same way as they do in a tribal organization. When they don't know what to do, they don't turn to that giant manual or look up that Word file. They ask their neighbor. They ask their supervisor. And that creates all the inefficiencies that really hamper businesses in trying to offer consistent service.
Now, what is this guide, or how does this training work? And so it's something that I would have with me on my computer.
Yeah, it's something you have either on your phone or your computer.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just technology. So we teach a framework. We call it the Find and Follow framework. That was the book we wrote.
Okay.
And it lays out how you do this, because it's not a matter of just having a digital version of this. You have to change the way you're capturing information and the way you're training people. So when we work with a client on the Find and Follow framework, the very first thing we do is a workshop. It's called a Find and Follow workshop. And that's where we do an analysis of, for this specific role, what are all the tasks they need to perform, the questions they need to answer, the problems they need to solve. We don't start with what they need to know. We start with what they have to be able to do.
Okay.
And it's starting with the end in mind. So we get that detailed analysis, and then we say, okay, now if they're going to be able to work independently, they need something that's findable, followable, scannable for each one of these things.
Mm-hmm.
And as we work with businesses, we find usually they only have 25 to 50% of that documented. Everything else is in people's heads. So once you have that clarity of this is what we need to be able to do, we then separate out what's called actual knowledge and foundational knowledge.
Mm.
Actual knowledge is going to be the recipes or the GPS of what I need to do. Foundational knowledge is the background information I need to understand if I'm going to be able to use that GPS. It's helping me understand the neighborhood I'm driving through. Mm-hmm. So what types of customers do we work with? What types of tools do we use? What are the services we offer? What does this kind of regulation mean in general? Whatever it is that the employee needs to understand, so that they can then use those recipes, those digital guides successfully.
Okay. So this then, the guide then empowers employees then to actually to be able to handle, you know, the different situations that may come up independently.
Yeah. They can be either checklists, how-to guides, or decision trees, where it'll ask the employee questions and based on the situation, it will give them different guidance.
Okay. So this framework, it works for any type of business?
Yeah, really. It's primarily for transferring operational knowledge. So how you do all the things in your business. Mm-hmm. We've worked with healthcare, technology companies, financial institutions, insurance, higher education. It's really, when we look at our businesses, you probably have the experience. You go somewhere for customer service and you're talking to someone and it's clear that they don't know the answer. They're kind of making it up or they're talking to someone else, or you talk to three different people at the business and get three different answers.
Right.
We've all had that experience. So any business that you know, you might find that situation where people are giving inconsistent answers or doing things different ways. That's where Find and Follow can work.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense, because I can even see myself in situations where I'm trying to get help. And okay, so, you know, I'm almost like telling them, it's like, okay, so you need to like do this way or look, you know, is there someone else or something like that? Yeah. You're right. You know what's going on the other, on the other side of that. So what if then are, so for a small business, and even like we're starting out as an entrepreneur, you know, so the solopreneur. Yeah. So what's your advice to those people as far as, you know, creating a framework to train? Because there's going to be down the line, there's going to be somebody working with them, even if they're temporary or on a project basis or whatever, they don't have time to, you know, to babysit that person.
Yeah. The very first thing is, really start using it for yourself before you even try to give to someone else. Mm-hmm. So we kind of think that we're going to be more efficient if we memorize things. It's true. It puts more of a cognitive load on us. So start for the things that you do on a weekly basis, on a monthly or quarterly basis. Make checklists for yourself. Just little, it doesn't need to take long, but just little kind of memory triggers that you can use for these procedures. Once you have that, and then you're going to bring somebody in, it gives you clarity then about what you want to have somebody else do. If you're bringing in an assistant or hiring someone on your team, go through and don't just say, okay, what do I want a big picture for them to do? What are the detailed things I want them to be able to do independently? Mm-hmm. And make sure that you have, if you're using just a simple system, just a bulleted list of instructions at the very least for each of those. And that will really help you then be prepared to bring that person on. Now, what you don't want to do is we tend to write, when we're writing documentation for things, we always write it as if it's going to be the first time somebody's going to use it. So we put too much detail in. Why is that a problem? They won't use it again. When there's too much detail, we have all this narrative, the background on the procedure, all that sort of stuff. They won't use it over and over again. They'll start working from memory. If we separate out those two, so you have one document that has all the background information and another document that has the step-by-step, then that's much better. It's easier for the new hire or the person you're working with to absorb the information, and it's easier for them to reuse the step-by-step procedures.
Is it all text-based or are there videos or graphics?
We suggest, when I talk about actual and foundational knowledge, remember foundational is just kind of giving you the big picture. Mm-hmm. Video is great for that. You can do a PowerPoint presentation or video, use video for that, but don't use video for the actionable stuff. Why? Because if I'm talking to a client and I need to bring up something, I can't watch a video while I'm talking to them.
Exactly. So, you can't scan a video either, not for this, in this type of situation.
Exactly. So that's why video, great for foundational knowledge, not good for that actual knowledge. Actual knowledge, use screenshots, use diagrams, use bulleted lists, those things, it's to make it very scannable. Like, use kind of call out text boxes if something's really important. You want somebody to be able to glance at it and follow it successfully.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Great. That makes sense. So what are some of the assumptions about training employees that most organizations get wrong?
really that they have to learn everything. And so if we look at what we're asking employees to do, it's not realistic for the human mind to absorb that amount of information in a short amount of time. For example, we worked with a client down in Southern California. It was taking them a year before an employee could really handle the standard situations independently. They were just so complex. You had to be there for a long time to understand all the nuances. When they switched to Find and Follow, that time dropped from 12 months down to less than 30 days. And the confidence in the employees just shot through the roof. So you imagine a whole year of just feeling like you're not good at your job, that you'll always have to ask for help. Versus after 30 days, you're working independently, you're not making any mistakes, you're confident, you're contributing to the organization. That's a major change in the morale, the mental health, the just the whole efficiency of the team. So it can be very transformational.
Yeah, absolutely. Not to mention, you know, the business doesn't suffer behind that either. You know, these clients and, you know, so that service and the brand experience, you know, stays the same.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I love the story they shared with me. They had this really complex type of call that would come in. And they'd gone through Find and Follow. They trained everybody on it. And it came in. And this person always escalated this. She always kind of passed it on to the supervisors when this kind of call came in. She was about to do it. And her supervisor said, "You've got this. You can do it. You do it." So she brought up the digital guide. She navigated the call. She did the whole thing on her own. She did it perfectly. And she said, the supervisor told me later, she said she hung up the phone. She stood up, twirled around in the air, and just cheered, "I did it." And that's the moment we want, right? When the employee has that confidence that they can do it on their own.
Yes, absolutely. So let's talk about some general business type things as well. Some of you've been in business for a while. How do you deal with the adversity when life events make you leave behind the career you've trained for?
Well, so when I was, I was originally working in the film music industry. My first son was born 3.5 months premature while we were on vacation. So he was under 2 pounds, had to be in the NICU for, 3 to 4 months there, and totally turned our lives upside down. And then because of that, later on, as I was working in the film industry, the film music industry, they said, "Hey, nobody's going to give your son health insurance because you're an independent employee." Mm-hmm. And so I had to make a big career change. And my brother and I started this business primarily just so we could have health insurance, right? Because if you had two people, they couldn't deny you health insurance. They could charge you a lot, but they couldn't deny you health insurance. Right. So totally different
group.
Plan.
We're a group.
Yep. Oh, we were a group. We were a tiny group, but we were a group. And it totally changed my career trajectory, everything I prepared for in my career. I had someone that told me something, though, that was really kind of resonated with me. They said, "You got to divide up your purpose and your passion." And my purpose, obviously, was to provide for my family. My passion at that time was I loved creativity. I loved working in that industry. But I found that I could take that same passion and apply it to another problem. And it's funny, I tell people now, like what I did, in the film music industry sounds so much more exciting than what I do now. But I love what I do now because my passion is figuring out the solutions to these challenges. And you can bring a lot of creativity to that. And so while it's different than orchestrating a piece of music or composing a piece of music, you can still kind of flex that creativity muscle and feed that passion just in a different way than you anticipated. So life throws you events that you don't anticipate, and you can sit there and have a pity party, or you can say, "Okay, wait a minute, how can I redirect here and find solutions with new doors that are opening?"
How long has the company been in business? You've been in business, rather?
We've been in business for 20 years. It's changed a lot over time. But we've been doing this for 20 years.
Okay. All right. So another question then, how can a bootstrapped business survive when competing with well-funded competitors?
Yeah. So we bootstrapped the business for 20 years and just took on some VC financing at the end of December this last year. So
wow. For us.
But while you're bootstrapping, for a long time, we were in a space nobody cared about. They didn't think about knowledge management. Mm-hmm. When COVID hit, everything that this raised to the top of the pile of things people cared about. It was important. And now with AI coming, it's becoming even more important because they need that central source of truth to feed AI. But the way we survived is, you know, we couldn't compete with competitors that were 10, 20, 100 times our size on a pure technology basis. We had to really dig into what was the customer problem and what was the full solution. So we would go into a business and not just try to sell them software, but really look at what was blocking them from achieving the business results that they wanted to achieve. And that's where we designed this whole framework. And we found that if you just had technology, that wasn't enough. But if you had a methodology supported by technology, then you could really change behaviors and change business outcomes. So it's exciting now as we've taken on funding and we're growing, like we're even filling out the product more to really support that framework and see fantastic results for our customers.
How can people get in touch with you and learn more about Screen Steps?
I'm on LinkedIn, quite frankly. So if you find me, Greg DeVore, on LinkedIn, you can learn more about Screen Steps at screensteps.com. And if you want to check out the book, Find and Follow, it's called Find and Follow, Reducing Supervisor Burnout and Improving Employee Performance by Transferring Knowledge Faster. You can find that on Amazon or findandfollowbook.com.
Okay, awesome. So they'll be able to, to get that from your website.
Yep.
Yeah, great. So, Greg, is there any closing knowledge that you would or advice that you would like? I said knowledge. That was a slip. I didn't mean to say that. Is there any closing advice for businesses? Around your expertise here.
I would just say, when you're working in business, if you sit down and do an analysis of all the questions you get asked during a day, and you find a way to answer them once, you shift from being a knowledge spender, we call it, where you just kind of answer questions, to a knowledge investor, where you create something that's findable, followable, scannable, you will find that you will free up so much time and mental bandwidth in your life. It will be transformative for you.
Well, Greg, it's been a pleasure to meeting you today and learning from you. And that's no pun there with the learning learning word this time. So Chop Squad, this, you have to have your standard operating procedures together, but I love what Greg DeVore has put together for us. So definitely, follow, go to his website, get his book, find, follow, so you can get that that framework together. Even if you're a solopreneur right now, as Greg had mentioned earlier, this is important even for ourselves, so that we're repeating the same thing and we're growing. And then we do have that person we start to hire or get a business partner. Then they can start off, and in 30 days, they're on their way without our help.
Thank you for listening to The Business Chop. We hope that you were able to glean valuable information from our guest and that you will download and share this podcast. Your rating and review is much appreciated. To go deeper with our guests, please visit their website and social channels. To learn more about us, please visit businesschop.info or altogether.biz, where we will help you expand your brand.